thy holy name, Heavenly Father. We glorify your name this morning, Lord. We thank you for the fine weather, and we thank you for this place that we have all these past 14 years. We know, Lord, it has been a great blessing to us. We know that there are other fellowship, Lord, that have to move about from place to place when your lease is up after 1 or 2 years, Lord. But we are thankful, Father, that you have granted us this place for 14 years. And we know, Lord, we will continue to help it, and as the will be done in this place, the company does not move and we'll still be here, Father. We know, Lord, you will lead us and you prepare a place for us, that we may gather together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. Come together, worship, fellowship, and sit under your feet, Father, to learn of you. We thank you for today and thank you for that precious word of life that you have given us in this hour. Lord, as you approach it, Lord, just anoint, O Lord, the speaking of the word and the hearing of the word. We come in now to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I want you to have a memory of the chart, what you're looking at. Alright, so we have been on this 70th week of Daniel. Alright, this is the 70th week, the last of the 70 weeks that Daniel received this revelation of prophecy from God concerning the children of Israel. Okay? Now, we are at this part here in the rapture. After the rapture takes place, then the world will go into these 7 years of the Daniel 70 weeks. Alright? Now, in the last few weeks, we have finished dealing with the two witnesses, their prophecy, why they were sent for, and how that their message would seal the 144,000 Jewish people, men, servant of God, 12,000 of each tribe, to seal them with the revelation of the name of God in their forehead. So that when the two witnesses are killed in the midst of this 70 week, then the 144,000 will minister to Israel during this period. When the Antichrist, when he breaks the covenant, he will go after the nation of Israel. He will go after all those Jewish people, and as well as those who identify with Israel. Got it? Now, today we are going to study. We want to know a little bit about this trumpet. There are altogether 7 trumpets. In the book of Revelation, you see 7 sets of 7. 7 church ages, or the 7 candlesticks, that is, the 7 angels, 7 bowls, 7 trumpets, 7 thunders, and so on. Alright, so we are going to look at these 7. Today we are going to look at the 7 trumpets. But for today, we are going to look at the first 3 and the 4th one. Got it? So now, if you look at the chart, you will see that I placed the first 3 trumpets in the beginning of the 17th week of Daniel. Because the first 3 trumpets deals with the message of the two witnesses. And the 4th trumpet still deals with the message of the two witnesses. But it will trumpet at almost at the close of the first 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Alright. Okay? Now if you look at carefully at this chart, then in the 4th trumpet, under the 4th trumpet, I put war, 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 the 3 woes. The 3 woes pertaining to what happens after the 4th trumpet is blown. Because it affects the other 3 trumpets. Okay? Alright, for that you can see now as an image. So we don't need that chart anymore. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Now you may wonder, why are we going backwards? We were dealing with Revelation chapter 12 last week, and now we are going back to Revelation chapter 8, going backwards. If anyone who a denomination or nominal Christian in denomination churches, if they will take my book and read it and study, they will find it different from the one that they will buy in the Christian bookshop. Because most of the author who are trying to explain about Revelation, the book of Revelation, will do it as if that the book of Revelation is telling sequentially, right? One after another, one chapter after another, as the event unfolds, as they read it to them, it is exactly what it should be. Each chapter that comes after the first one is a continuation of the first. But we know, as I said, is that the book of Revelation, they are given as series of visions to John on the Isle of Patmos. So he will sit there, I don't know how long he was there in that island, how long it took God to give this series of visions to John, that he could sit down and write them. It's certainly not a day, not a week, and not a month. Do you understand? John was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. So we do not know how long it took God to give him all those series of visions that he wrote on this book of Revelation. It cannot happen to him in one whole day. It cannot happen to him in one whole week. Because the human mind cannot comprehend all this to be able to see a vision and not lose its strength. If you ever have a vision, and if you have a series of visions just maybe for 15 minutes, you find that your virtue will drain. Your strength will go. You feel very tired. You know, because God is showing things that is not natural. It's supernatural. You're looking beyond the curtain of time. You see. So we do not know how long. So these are all series of visions. So that's why when John wrote a series of visions, it is just that. And you need to know, therefore we need the Holy Spirit to guide us to know how this vision is to be placed with other vision that he saw. Alright, so now we are back in chapter 8. Now if you remember chapter 7, which we touch on, is when the 144,000 were sealed by Tuvinus' message. But of course, when you read that, it didn't mention anything about the two witnesses. The two witnesses is mentioned only in chapter 11. So do you understand that? Okay, so we need to see how to place those things. Alright, so in chapter 7, it is the vision that was shown to John about that sealing of the 144,000. Now in chapter 8, in verse 1 it said, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, we already deal with this seventh seal. We already deal with the series of the seven seals. And here, all of a sudden, strange as it is, in verse 1 of chapter 8. Now, you know when God told John to write this vision, he didn't say, "Okay, John, next chapter, chapter 8, put verse 1. Now, there is no such a thing. Do you understand? So, why do we put verse 1 of chapter 8? It's, you know, it is just a series of visions as God showed John. And next moment, John heard the voice of God. Alright? Showing him a vision. And that's it. And then, you see here in verse 1, "And when you open the seventh seal, there was sun in heaven about the space of an hour." And in verse 2 it says, "And I saw the seven angels which stand before God, which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now, again to remind you, in case you forget, almost every scripture verse starts with three letter A-N-D, end. End. Almost every verse. Now, as I said this, verses and chapters are not done by God. There is no verses, no chapter, no full stop, no comma in the Hebrew, nor in the Greek. So it's just a series of words coming that the author writes. But those people who read Hebrew will know when to stop, where the pause is. Those who read Greek, they also know when to pause and get the thoughts, where the thoughts end. So when it was translated into English, so they try to figure out what the full stop should be and when the next sentence would start. You understand? But in God, and you take for example now, you look at verse 6 for example. It starts with the word end. And the seventh angel will have the seventh trumpet prepare themselves to sound. Verse 7 says, the first angel sounded. Right? So you see the order. This verse did not start with the end. But the fact is that there's no such thing as a verse there. Because that verse 7 should join right to verse 6. And the next verse should be verse 8 end. Because every statement in connection always begins with an end. Whether you like it or not. A statement in Hebrew could be very long. And then the next statement starts with an end could be very short. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, God is connecting His thought from one to another by joining the word, using the word end. But it doesn't mean that this event that start here, okay, followed by the next event because of the word end is connected to it, it is not true. You understand? Now, if you don't understand that, you need to go back and read my book on the title, It Is Finished. Have an understanding of how the word bar in Hebrew is used. Okay? So now, when you look into chapter 8, and when you had opened the seventh seal, there was sounded in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, we know, and I said this, that the seventh seal pertains to the end of all things. Now, we have already seen that when John saw this vision, or when he saw the Lamb of Christ Jesus open up the last seal, or broke that seal, the heaven remained silent for about half an hour. So you, as I said this, is that when you read the Bible like this, you want to imagine what actually took place. You want to figure out what John actually see. Now just imagine John was on the Isle of Patmos. Whether he was in a little cave, or little house, or little hut, we have no idea. Or whether he was walking along the beach, that God would suddenly show him this vision. And when he saw this vision, and when the Lamb broke the last of the seventh seal, he saw the whole heaven remain silent. It's about the space of half an hour. So now just imagine if you have a vision like that. You saw something, some activity, and then something happened, and then in heaven everything remains silent. The angel don't move, right? The harpers with their harp don't harp their harps. Everything just remains silent. And you just look at the vision and you stand. How long is it going to be? You will know. 1 minute passed, 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, 20 minutes passed, 25, 30 minutes passed. So John was sitting down there. When he said half an hour, he meant that. About half an hour. He means that he was watching this whole scenario in heaven. When nothing moved, everything remained. Everybody just remained silent. So it must tell us something. And usually when we know that, as I said, if you ever go to a drama, like Brother Daniel is in that drama thing. So, you know, when you go in a drama, when you go into a theater and everybody will be talking, whispering, right? And suddenly the light dims. Talk, talk, dims. Everything is going to stop. Everybody's quiet. Isn't it? Nobody's going to yell, all right, the show is going to start. Nobody's going to yell. Everybody is sitting still waiting because the curtain is going to move, draw back. And everybody is watching what's going to happen. And usually when the door opens, it's kind of quiet. Usually it depends on the drama. You see. So, this seal catches your attention. You want to wait. You are waiting to see what's going to happen. And obviously something happened here, but the Bible don't tell you exactly what happened. Because that event of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 1, is over in chapter 10. And we have dealt with it as to the coming of Christ. Coming of the one who is the King of Kings. The one who is the Redeemer who comes back to claim the heaven and the earth. Do you understand? But what John saw was a series of visions. And when after that, the sun was over, then he saw seven angels. Now, he says, I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them was given seven trumpets. Now, that is to say, after the seven seals is over, then the seven trumpet was given to these seven angels. Now, let me just make you to understand. The seven angels cannot hold in their hands. You know that there are seven vows too, right? Remember? There are seven vows. Is that right? Yes, sir. Seven trumpet, seven vows. Now you don't expect the seven angel to stand before God with one hand holding a trumpet and another hand holding a vow. Yes, they come. That is to say that when they are given seven trumpet, the trumpet must be blown before the vow can come upon the scene. Do you see? So they can only. The series of vision that God showed to John was that the angel would appear before the throne of God, and what they were told to do was given to them, and they must do that before they can appear before God's throne again and receive another item. So now when the seal that was the seventh seal is finished, then now they go back to the throne and the angel that stood before the throne of God. To them now were given seven trumpets. Alright? So this is the vision. Now let us look at verse 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God, out of the angel's hand. Now, so now with the angel standing before God, they all received the trumpet. So now the next scene changed, and John saw now another angel. And this angel stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now this altar is the altar of burnt incense. The one that is placed before the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is a heavenly setting. Now, if you remember your teaching, the teaching on the tabernacle of Moses? Do you remember that there was this building in which was divided into two? And the first one that the priest went in is known as the holy place. Got it? Alright? Now in the holy place, as the priest comes in from the front into the room, he will see a curtain separating the room behind from the room where he is standing in. On the right hand is a table, and that is the table where the showbread are laid. On his left hand is a candlestick, the seven golden candlestick. You understand? And in front of him was a curtain. It's a curtain. And before the curtain is that altar of incense, where the priest will burn incense as they would say, depends how many priests get in, to minister to the Lord. And behind the curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, do you remember that? I want you to know that the setting you learn of the temple or the tabernacle of Moses is different from the setting that John sees in this vision regarding the heavens. Do you understand? Now, in the heavens, what John saw? There is no room. Now, we are here in the room, right? This is the room that we are. We have a room, we have four walls. Okay? But when John was caught up in this heavenly vision, he saw that altar. He saw the angel standing before that altar of burning sand. Right? And he says here, came and stood at the altar having a golden incense, and there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now he said, you understand? That altar stands before the throne. So in this vision that John saw in the heaven, it was in heaven. There was no covering, no roof, no walls, nothing. It was just an altar that was before the throne. That means that it's an open thing. Do you understand that? Do you see that? What John saw is that everything has already been done for us. And the golden altar incense was just before the throne. And it says right here in this verse 3, that this angel having a golden censer. Now, you know what a golden censer is? It's a container. Well, you can see the censer in Chinese temple where they put their joystick. You all know that, don't you? Sometimes you can see it in some apartment flat in front of their door. That is a censer. They put their joystick, right? But the Bible said about this golden censer is that where they put coal fire in that coal. And then burning coal, and then they will put incense, okay, in that to burn. So now, this burning of incense is a form of worship, form of ministration to God. Like you and I, the Bible says every one of us who are born again, we are made a priesthood. Remember? You understand that? Oh, the song that we sang earlier. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And then the last verse says, Have I ever told the Lord that I love Him? How many of you have told the Lord you love Him this morning? Say, Lord, I love you. You see, you're ministering to God. Whenever you, not only just coming to church to worship, every time at home when you are just praying, talking to the Lord, you're ministering. God wants you to talk to Him. Oh yeah. You know. Of course, unless you don't think that God is real. You know. Right? You can't see God with your eyes, not these eyes. But neither can I see air with my eyes. I can see air. How many can see air? You know, I don't know. What is air? Can you see air? Air is made of gases or nitrogen, oxygen, and whatever. But yet you can't see it with your eyes. But you feel it. Don't you? Yes or no? Just do that. That's air from my lungs. Breathe in. You can feel the cold room that the air goes into your lungs. Is that right? Yes or no? You can see, when you can feel air when out there when there's windy, when you know out there outdoor when there's a lot of wind blowing. The same thing, you can see God with the natural eye, but you see Him with the spiritual eye, you feel Him with your spirit. And so Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, which is born of spirit is spirit. The flesh touches the things of the world, because everything about this flesh is the five senses, and it feels the surrounding. But the spiritual senses feel the spiritual realm. Right? And that's why people who are not born again, and they don't believe in God, they think that we are crazy. They think we are crazy. And do you believe that there is a God? The thing is, if you don't believe in God, good. It's nothing to you. I know one thing for sure. When I die, I'm there. The problem is I already did. I'm already there. So what are you talking about? You're talking riddles. How many of you here are dead already? You're not dead yet? How many of you are dead already? Did not Paul say, I die every day? Yes. In Christ I die and in Christ I live again. So you are not dead to self. You said that your old man need to die. That's why you be born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. You see that? So when John saw this vision, he saw this golden censer that the angel took. And it says here, and there was given him much incense that he could continue to worship God. And, well, you know, it's sort of like getting closer to the Lord and to be near God and to appease God and to seek His mercy, seek His grace, sort of thing, using this incense. You know, that's why it's very often that we come to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. Yeah, it's good at Brother Henry's, you see. They do, huh? Because sometimes we get all of the work up in our life and we actually say, it ain't good for our spiritual health. You see. So we have the Lord, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. You know. I thank you for what I have, thank you for this. Sing whatever song you know you like. Just to rejoice in the Lord. God wants your worship. He wants your life as a, what we call, a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. A life that is full of sweet smelling savor to God. And to this angel was given this incense that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne now. Now this angel is doing something. He got this incense in the hand. And he got this whole lot of incense there. So he's putting there, a lot of smoke is coming up. And to him he says here that offer with the prayer of all the saints. Now, the prayer of all the saints. Now, this is the last time we ever see this. Something is happening here. Okay? The prayer of all the saints. Past prayer, the present prayer, and all the future prayer that 1 John saw here. And it will be once and for all that this will be given to the angel. And the next verse says, and the smoke of the incense which came from the prayer of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, whose prayer are these? Are these the prayer of only the Jewish saints, or are they just the prayer of the Jew in the Old Testament, or the Jew that are present now? Or just prayer of all the saints? Saints of the past, saints of the present, and saints of the future. Not every Israel, not every Jew is a saint. As Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. Do you get it? So now, when we see this thing, it shows one thing, that John is now witnessing the end of the New Testament. Okay? He is witnessing the end of the New Testament, and God is now dealing with Israel. Do you understand that? Because this is the final, all that which is contained in the same will be offered up to God. Let us go to verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire out of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightnings and an earthquake. Now here we have the prayer of the saints mixed with the incense or in the golden censer. And the Bible here said, the angel took it, adding the fire from the altar, which is not the fire from the golden altar of incense. All the fire that is burning comes from the brazen altar of sacrifice. It's put in there. So the angel took that censer now. He cast it. And once he cast it, there's no more prayer added. Right? All the prayer is already mixed with this incense, right? You understand the censer? So now the angel is casting it. What did he say he cast into? Fill with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. In the vision, John saw all this and how the angel took it and cast it into the earth. So now this, all that the angel is offering now. First of all, you know, when you see a vision like this, when the angel takes something and throws it down the earth, that means something is happening on the earth. Judgment is coming on the earth. But this is a censer of sweet smelling savor to appease God, and it contains the prayer of the saints. Okay, with the sacrifices, the sacrifice fire from the outside mixed to it,
So all these three are mixed with, and all the angels catch upon it. It tells us one thing. This action shows that God should have mercy as He deals with the people on the earth. Do you understand? Because why? The incense is something that is pleasing to God. It shows to appease God from letting go all His wrath and anger upon the inhabitants of the earth. You got it? And the prayer of the saints, what have the saints been praying for all this century? What have been men like Abraham, Daniel, Moses, Ezekiel, Elijah, Malachi, Zechariah, all those saints of old, what have they been praying? Look at the book of Psalms, look at the book of the Proverbs, look at the book of Job. All those prophets, even King David, look at the book of Psalms now. King David sings song, you know, telling God to be merciful to the children of Israel. The prophets were praying for God to be merciful to Israel. And remember how many times that God's wrath was up and wanted to destroy Israel. And even Moses said, ha-ha, don't do that, Lord. Remember your promise. There are your people, you cannot destroy everyone. Do you see that? Each time when God's, there are always saints of God, they knew in those days that God's wrath is poured out upon the children of Israel. Because you see, you know, battles come, you know, we call enemies, army from all the nations, other nations start coming against Israel. And Israel lost battle. And then you get men like David and all those Gideons that will go on their knees and pray. So what went wrong? Lord have mercy. The enemies are overwhelming us. And God will be reminded that there are still people that love Him, that will give His word and intercede for His children. And so how important it is for us to pray for one another, as the Bible said. Is that not right? Yes. Pray for one another. You see, I'm so glad this morning that there are some people praying for me. For the ministry. For one another. And you should be glad that we are praying for each other. You understand that? But here was this, the prayer here of the saints now. The angel is showing this to sort of remind God. With the sweet smelling savor, they appease you with that, in some way, appease you with that prayer of all the saints, past, present, and future. Whatever God is doing right now, you know that the seventh seal already been revealed. In portion, imparts to us what is to come. Is that right? But once that church or the blood of Christ is taken out, that's the end for the Gentile. No more gospel will be preached to any Gentiles. There'll be no one to come and tell you that you are a sinner. If you need a Savior, because it's over. You have to give your life. You have to give your life up in order to save a soul. Because you will be a different, entirely different era of time. Because it will be a time that God will turn to Israel and deal with Israel. Do you understand? So when that Sunday is cast down, it shows judgment. Judgment! And no more prayer will be offered. Will be accepted. No more. As far as the Gentile is concerned, because God is dealing with Israel. Do you see that? He's dealing with Israel. And God is reminded of all those prayers. Please, Lord, be merciful. Be full of grace to those that are yours, they are still on the earth. When you bring forth your judgment upon this earth. And all this action that is showing now, because why? when the two witnesses come upon the scene, when the first trumpet is blown, then you understand why. Do you understand? So we are seeing this transition now. Okay? What? When the bride is gone, this symbol of this casting down of the censer that contains incense with the prayer of the saints, mingled with the fire of sacrifice, the fire of sacrifice in, from the present altar, to remind God of what Christ has done. Still for your children in Israel that you are still dealing with, and for those Gentiles that are foolish, those foolish virgins that are on the earth, be merciful. Okay, so now with that, let us look into a verse, Micah chapter 7 verse 15. Okay, Micah chapter 7 verse 15 to 17. Okay, so Micah prays, says, turn thy people like the days of old. And God answered and said, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt. You see, in the days of Micah chapter 7. Micah. Oh, what did I say, sorry? Micah. Oh, I said 17. I'm sorry. See, that shows that I'm getting old. Chapter 7. Verse 15 to 17. Okay? So now in those days of this prophet, Israel also had been just real mess. You know? So Micah is he prayed to the Lord to turn the people like God did in the days of Moses, in the days of old. Okay. So now God has and according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Somebody's going to turn the children of Israel. And we know that, you know, the gospel light is, well, ending up with Gentile now. Okay? It's soon going to be over for the Gentile as God turned to the Jew. And will turn them around, yes. Okay. Now, when we look at the verse here, it says in verse 5 of Revelation, it says that when that censer was cast down upon the earth, the Bible said there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. Huh? So when you see this expression of voices, thundering and lightning, it shows there is a lot of activities of God. God is judging. God is speaking. And He's doing a quick work. With the earthquake on the earth, it's showing that there's going to be some disturbances on the earth. Alright, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 21. We see what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the heaven, or in the sun, and in the moon, and in the star. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the wave roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken here. You know the word powers of the heaven is interesting. It comes from the Greek word that sounds like uranium. It's actually a root word where the word uranium comes from. You know, so the power of the earth will be shaken. And it shows, you know, that, yeah, sure, we're looking at the world in our condition today with all the bombs, nuclear bomb, atomic bomb first time, then the nuclear bomb. So you can see what the earth is doing. And the Bible here, what Jesus said about, you know, about signs in the sun and in the moon. In fact, there are some phenomena that is going on already. Sun and moon on and off. Right? But look at what he says here. And upon the earth, distress of nation prevails. The sea and the wave rolling. Look at what's happening with the climate. Huh? Only a few days ago there was a tsunami, there was an earthquake in Japan again, you know, just off the coast, not far from Fujishima, yeah, where they have the destruction of the, you know, where the tsunami struck and it damaged their nuclear plant. But of course it wasn't such a bad earthquake, so I think it says that the tsunami, the wave was only 1 meter high. But this is what causes nation to be distressed. You know, I believe that if you live in Japan, I don't know whether you want to live in Japan or not. If you look at the what we call the Ring of Fire in the Pacific, it cuts through Japan Island into half actually, just outside the coast of east of the coastline of Japan. And even cut right through half in the first, the northern island, or the what they call Honshu. You can see that those islands are not stable. It's getting worse now. I mean, years and years ago, you don't hear so many earthquakes, right? But the Bible says earthquake will increase. Jesus said earthquake will increase. Wars will increase. Famine will increase. Droughts will increase. Flooding will increase. And it is on the increase. So you get all this typhoon, look what happened. Philippines getting more every time. And we see that even in what you call America, the twist of the tornado comes very often too. You know. What about down in Australia area? A couple of years ago, Christchurch was having a big earthquake, right? And now you have some tremble there and here too. That's, I mean, on New Zealand. See. What about Indonesia? What about Singapore? See, we're all kind of safe because we're outside of it. But what if the big one shake the bottom of the hold of our site? I don't know. Marina Bay will go, the casino will go, for all we know. This earth is shaking. The Bible says it's shaking. And God said, I will shake the whole earth and the heavens. And only those things that will not be shaken will not be shaken. What is the only thing that will not be shaken? You tell me. Huh? God is going to shake the whole heaven and earth. And when He shakes the whole heaven and earth, He's not only shaking just the material thing, He's going to shake the spiritual things in the life of people. Huh? What is the only thing that will not be shaken if you have it? And that's the real thing. And that's the Word of God in you. If you have the Word of God in you, real revelation, it cannot be shaken, come what may. Right? I was watching a movie last night. I've never read the book. I can't remember reading the book. I guess perhaps when I was young, I said a simple kind of a picture book about the Pilgrim's Progress. So last night I watched it for the first part, and I kind of like it, you know. You see. And one of the things, and one of the characters in that book of John Bunyan is fearless. Yeah. You see. And when I was watching that, I was reminded of this Iranian brother, Yusuf. Right? Nakakonia, how to pronounce that name? When he was in prison. They torture him. They're going to kill him. They're going to hang him. He just remains steadfast. Huh? And my mind goes back to early days when the Roman Empire came into power over many Christian life. And many were taken to the arena. Family. Torn the arena with all the thousands and thousands of, wow, wicked sinners and evil people who just want to see animal tearing up the flesh of human being. And family was standing there, father, mother, grandfather, babies in arm and toddler. And they let loose the lion and the bear. And the lion come, the bear come running. Get one, slash another, slash another. As a mother, you protect the child, the lion tear you. Huh? Or the bear with one swipe of his paw, suck, your head comes off. And you start eating the baby. And all those people, but sure, and sure, and sure. You know, when I think of that, I just picture that family, believer, Christian, standing on a face in the lion. You know, naturally, you know, you when you see the lion coming after you, you run, won't you? You know what I believe? When at the moment of time, when you stand right there, the Holy Spirit takes over to come there. And the mind just go. And the lion just come, bite them, kill them, tear them, they go. The next moment they find themselves in paradise. And don't fear death. The word Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. You lose your life for my sake, you get it. But who is Jesus? Well, to those who don't believe in God, who don't believe in what we believe in, of course they say, oh, he's just one of those founders of a religion called Christianity. Until you experience the love of God, you know nothing. Until you know the love of God. Amen. Amen. True. You see. Tell me, in this world, where is true love? True love come from your wife, your husband? True love come from your parents? What is it? Somebody might do a kind act for you. I was just reading that news about in New York City. I think it was New York City when this police man, you know, saw the man without a shoe. He bought him a pair of shoes cost $100 for him. He wasn't wearing it because he was protected because it's too expensive. He afraid the company might took it away and run from him. You know what I mean? Finally, he lost it. I don't know where my name, my soul started off, I don't know. You know. So that is love, sure. But what is true love? It comes only from God. It can only come from God because the truth of God, the word of God, is love. He wants to give us life, correct our life, and bring us home to Him. Yeah? Okay. So now we are seeing all these things that's happening, and you know what? When these things start happening, what will be your diet? What will be the diet of the people every day? When you see all this phenomena happening, sun starts having some phenomena, the moon, the stars, signs up there in the air, upon the land, something happened, up in the sea, something happened. What do you think will be the diet of people? What happened on the day? I can guarantee you, none of you missed it. On the day of 9-1-1, you will be always sure looking for the television. Right? Is it not true? Turn on the TV. Let's see what happens next. People will be glued to the television. Yes or no? Sure, isn't it? Some big event happened. People are glued to the TV. And this is what people will do when the two witnesses come upon the scene. You tell me. You just guarantee you that. When the Antichrist comes upon the scene and signs a peace treaty with many in the Middle East, everybody will watch it. Oh, there's peace now. Finally, peace. And here comes the two witnesses start preaching and start condemning the whole system, start warning the people about their lives and their wickedness, that they should repent. That they should worship the Lord. Everybody be watching. Because big news. But especially when their heads are cut off. Or when they kill them. On the street of Jerusalem. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets, prepare themselves to sound. Remember this, that they could only begin to blow their trumpets after they have finished their thundering work. Remember they were given the seven thunder their voices? You remember that? In chapter 10? Huh? That's what the seventh seal is. When the seventh seal was opened, there was sun in the heaven because God is coming, He's sending His Son to come down and claim the earth. And when the Bible said in chapter 10 of Revelation, when the mighty angel came down, the seven thunder uttered their voices. Right. So this thing was sealed up because nobody knows what they said, but it will be revealed. And it is only for the bride. And once the thunder have thundered their voices to take, prepare the bride's change of the body to go up, then the seven angel will start blowing the trumpet. But this angel that blows the trumpet would not blow the trumpet all at the same time. It's one after another. As the seven thunders, they thunder all at the same time. Okay? So now, we'll see what took place. When this seven trumpet, when each one blows the trumpet, and John saw it in the vision in heaven, something happened on the earth. Do you understand? Oh, I don't know, if you have watched usually old movies, you know, old movies of ancient time, like King Arthur's days, or the, you know, ancient British crusader time. When they have some festivities, they have all this blowing of the trumpet. Right? And sometime when a certain event, one trumpet will blow, one trumpeter will blow his trumpet, and then something will present it. Then another one blow his trumpet, another thing will, event will be presented. So, it's the same here. So when the angel blow the trumpet, something happened on the earth. Okay? So now, let us go to Revelation chapter 11. Go back to chapter 11. The first four trumpets will affect Israel. Practically. Do you remember the first four seals? Now, how many of you remember the first four seals? What are the first four seals? Very simple, they are all the same. They are all horses, right? Remember? Okay. The first horse. Come on, what's the first horse? What is the first horse? White, black, blue. White. What is the second horse? Red. Red. Are you sure it's red? Not black. I see you're confused. What is the first horse? This white. Right? The second horse?
Red.
Third horse? Black. Black is stand for famine. Red stand for bloody. Blood. The killing. The white one is hypocrisy. Imitation. Impersonation. The last one is what? Pale. Pale. It's actually greenish. Huh? Blue-black. It's just talk about pale. Actually, it's cross. As I said, it's pale. So it's trying to revive. So the first four seals of those seven seals, it deals with the church. Isn't it? Do you remember? Do you remember? It deals with the church. Ages. The fifth seal. What is the fifth seal? What is the fifth seal? Souls under the altar. The sixth seal? The earthquake. Right? And the seventh seal? The silent. You get it. So the first four seals deals with the church. The same with the trumpet here. The first four trumpets correspondingly deals with Israel. First trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth trumpet deals with Israel. Now, you understand that Israel is natural, a nation. The church is spiritual Israel. So what God deals with Israel, He deals with us. What, how He deals with us, also the way He deals with Israel, only in a similar way, but different. All right, so these four trumpets deals with Israel. Revelation 11, 3 to 6. This is what happened. And I will give power to my witness, two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, what he says here is clear. I mean, you look at the trumpet. These two prophets, now, whenever God sends prophets, they are always sent for a reason. To give you a warning first. Do you see that? Huh? God always sent prophets to tell the children of Israel back to Israel before he sent judgment, if they don't want to listen. So these two prophets, they are God's grace, they are God's mercy to Israel, to bring them back, alright, to His word. Okay? But their ministry, what the trumpet when they are blown, that shows what their ministry really is. And those trumpets that's going to happen, something happened on the earth, it's going to be cosmic activities. In the heavens, when we say heavens, we don't mean heaven where God is. Heaven is this space. Okay? And what we see out there in the stars and the sun and the moon, and the ministry also affect what's on the earth, the environment, that's to say. Alright? Okay, now, let's go to verse 7. We also, when we really begin to understand that when this event takes place, when God turned to Israel, okay, remember, your Bible, you hold in your hand, it's a Bible for who? It's a Bible for Israel. It's actually all for Israel, to begin with. But because Israel rejected the gospel, God turned to the Gentiles, you and me. You know we are Gentiles, huh? You know what Gentile means? Gentile means those who are not Israel. Not gentlemen, or not gentle, but Gentiles. Okay, so the Bible is originally written as God's oracles to Israel, to the Jew. But we are so glad that God grafted us into it. That's why we have it. But God now is turning back to Israel. So, when the two witnesses come upon the scene, remember this again, they are not going to be in America. Right? You know how America started? It all started because of the pilgrims that came from Europe and England. Okay? They got tired of this papacy system over there. The papal system. They ran away from the Catholic Church and Anglican Church up there in Great Britain. So they all went in search of this big, wonderful continent called America. So they landed there, Mayflowers and all that, ships and all that. And you know what happened? The British went down there, the British fought with the American there, and so finally they are. Those that call themselves America won, huh? You know about the history of the Boston Tea Party and the Guy Fawkes and all that stuff. Now, those people who came over from Europe and founded this land and built their life, they call America like a promised land. You know that, huh? It's like a promise, because the only people that lived there at that time are the Red Indians, the natives. You know. And so now the white came over from the Europe, and then they built that their home there, make it a big nation. Actually, America is called United States of America, right? But actually, it's actually, how many states do they have? 50? Actually, they are supposed to be called the United Nations of America. Actually, the 50 states are actually 50 nations. Because these states have their own laws and all that stuff. Oh yeah, actually there are 50 nations. I'm not wrong, Brother David. They all have their, you know, every state has their own, but different taxes and different laws. And, oh my, I don't understand that, you know. You say, yeah, because it's America, man, and United States, yeah, you're united, actually a united nation. Okay, now, they call it a promise, and sure, it was wonderful. But you know, that is not Israel. Okay? But of course, there is a teaching among those who, the extremists, they call themselves the this white supremacy, they studied it all, I believe, more or less. That's why you have a church that believe in the lost 10 tribes of Israel. The lost 10 tribes of Israel. Remember the 12 tribes? Okay? The two tribes in the southern tribe, they form the nation of Judah. The northern one, they form the tribe of Israel, or the nation of kingdom of Israel. The other one, they were taken by the Assyrians. And according to many, they never came back to Israel. And Jesus was around, they said there were no Israelites, which is not true, they were there. You can look into the Bible, they were there. And the word Judah in Israel, they are changeable. At times they are identical, but yet sometimes refers to the same people. But they said, no. And so what did they say? Okay, we are the one. We are the one, we European are the lost and tribe. You all know that, don't you? I told you this before. The tribe of Dan went to Denmark and leave their mark there. So the show is called Denmark. That's very clear. That's what they believe. You see. And everyone said Jeremiah went up there. I don't know why he goes, you know. And that's what he said, the Anglo-Saxon. He come from the son of Isaac's son, Saxon. You know, some people, you know, they don't pronounce the first word in the syllables of the name. Isaac's son, they get no I. They say this, they say Saxon. So he became Anglo-Saxon, they said that's what it is. Isaac's son went over there. That's why we are, white people are called Anglo-Saxon. We are the Anglican Isaac's son. So now that's why they have lost. They claim that. But you remember one thing. This teaching has been going on for many, many centuries now. Huh? But of course we know that these people who believe that the white people are the lost and trapped, that's not true. That they are the real pure Israelite, that's not true. Right? And you know what they say? The teaching, they say that those Jews, those people who killed Jesus Christ, they are the bastard. And they are the Jew. They are the Jews now in Israel. They are the Jews. They are not Israel. They are the Jews. They are the ones that killed Jesus. We are American. We are the British. We don't kill Jesus. We are the good guys. We are the real Israel. But you know what the Bible talks about? God dealing with Israel. In the 70th year of Daniel, it will be not in America. It will be in the land of Israel. Canaan land. You got it? So those two witnesses will be there. Not in America or not in any parts of the world. So when this ministry of the trumpet of the angel starts, then you realize one thing. It all going to take place right in the Middle East. Right now, for example, you, unless you're not interested in news or what's going on. You know, for me as a Christian, as a Bible believer, I'm interested in how prophecies are being fulfilled. And what is prophecy being fulfilled right now? You see what's going on in the Middle East? The prophecy, how true that is. About Ishmael's children, his descendants, they will fight among themselves. The Bible says they will fight among themselves. There will be great princes and they will fight among themselves. Look at all those nations out there. Saudi Arabia, Egypt and all the, I mean Egypt is not part of that, but you can see all those Arabs. A lot of Arab went to Egypt and stayed on there. So the Egyptians are no longer Egyptian as it was in the days of old. Many of them are actually Arabic. Lebanon and Syria, all those problems that they have among themselves. See? So when this ministry takes place, it will be there. But what happened over in the Middle East, what happened will affect every nation of the world. You know that, don't you? So look at what's going on in the Middle East. The United Nations said, no, we cannot have war. Come on, this. Why? Because the US dollars will go up or go down. You know that, huh? You see? So it will affect the economy. It will affect the whole world. So we are watching that. Okay, let's go. First trumpet, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and therefore hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the top part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Well, you know what hail is? Hail is, what is the term they call it? Hail is stone, and those are big, oh, what do you call it? Ice ring. Right? Isn't it? Ice ring. Because they're actually really like little pieces of ice. So, and it says, hail and fire mingle with blood. Fire is fire. Mingle with blood. Can you take a hail stone, mix with fire, mix with blood? You can't. That's not possible. So what is this? What is it telling us? What we see is that the Bible said the first angel sounded, and then John saw the vision. That there came forth hell, and then he saw fire, he saw mixing with blood. But these are symbolic of what is going to happen upon this earth. Because the Bible said, and they were cast upon the earth. The terrestrial, the earth. Okay? So this is what. So what we see here, some people say, well, you know, there's going to be a hailstone that comes down with fire. I don't know, some people probably have seen a Christian movie made about the book of Revelation. You can see when they try to explain it, it's a show dramatized with hail that has fire on it. I've never seen it. Have you ever seen it? The only explanation could be, if this is going to be natural, it will be a volcanic eruption. When a volcano erupts, sometime on the side of the volcano you have these stones, huh? Okay. And when it blows up, the red volcanic ash mixed with this stone, it looks red. And it catches fire. So you think that, well, there is hailstone because it comes down from heaven, a hailstone. Do you understand? But what does it do? If it is natural, so what does it do? So he had nothing to do with natural things. This phenomenon is not going to be natural. Do you understand that? These are only what John saw about what's happening on the earth. Now we first of all understand that this judgment will affect many lives upon this earth. So when we look at what is described here, hail and fire. Fire represents, obviously, you know, fire represents judgment, a burning, something that purged. And blood represents life. We all know that blood represents life, isn't it? Isn't it, no? Yes or no? So, ice rain, which is water, can never mix with fire. So you only symbolize that God is going to judge the people with grace and mercy. He's not going to judge them, their life, as to destroy them. He's going to judge them. First of all, remember these four trumpets deal with Israel. I'm talking about God's grace and mercy to Israel. Do you understand? Yes. Remember that when the 70th week of Daniel starts, there will be signing of the peace treaty by the Pope with those in the Middle East. So there's going to be peace. You know, right? You understand this? Yes or no? You understand? There's going to be peace. There'll be no wars or anything. There's going to be peace. So that's why God is going to deal with the children of Israel in this first 1.5 years with grace and mercy towards them. But the description here is that in God's dealing with them, He has to wake them up. But He's not going to destroy their life. His sword will not come out. You understand? Well, only the second half of the 70 week, that's where you find the destruction. Do you see that? So, blood represents life. So it just shows only that God, when God deals with them, in His judgment with fire, and you know, He said, well, eyes hell is that, let's put it this way, well, it's kind of hard to say, but, this is one explanation which is hard to deal with, but, to say that in God's power, the judgment using fire, water, as eyes went, that's actually water, in a form of dealing with them, yet harshly, but yet not destroying their life. Because even though the Bible says it mixed with blood. Okay? And you all must always understand that blood deals with life. And God is going to deal with Israel to wake them up about the sacrifice of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who died for them. Okay, so these three things just add together is only telling us, in a sense, how God deals with them. Because if you go into the Old Testament, I believe, let us see if I can look at Joel. Let's go to the book of Joel. Let's go to the book of Joel. Oh no, let's go to book Exodus, sorry. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22. Let's see what happened actually in the day when God dealt with them in the hands, under the hand of Moses. Exodus 9, 22 to 26. Okay. Now, here when God dealt with Israel in the days of the Exodus, He wasn't dealing with Israel. He was dealing with Pharaoh. Yes? He was dealing with Egyptian Pharaoh. So verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward the heaven, and there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon men and upon beasts and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smoke throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both men and beasts, and the hail smoke every herbs of the field, and break every tree of the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was, there was no hail. Now these are natural. These are actually natural events. The Bible said, hail, mingle with fire. There's no blood. Okay, now, this is real because when God said the hail, it's actually volcanic eruption. Okay, somewhere along that place, as you know, you have volcano, or you may have some form of eruption where this rain, this hailstone came down, catches fire that erupts from the volcano. You understand? And so when it comes on the ground, that's why it looks like the fire are running along with those hills. You see? So they're not real hailstone as to say that they are actually rain. Hailstone means, okay, you got there somewhere and somebody threw all kinds of metal pieces down from the high rise. He said there's a hail of metal pieces. But hail is just a word. Eh? Don't say hail as in the sense of as rain, ice rain. Okay? Alright. Joel chapter 1. The book of Joel chapter 1. And read verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as the destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It's not the meat cut off before your eyes. Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The city is rotten under the cloth. And gutters are laid desolate, and barns are broken down. For the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pasture of the wilderness, and the flame hath burnt up all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cried also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pasture of the wilderness. So now, when the first trumpet are blown, this hail mingled with fire and blood. There's going to be some phenomenon that happened. There'll be no rain. There's going to be drought. And when they are drought, they're going to be dry. Now, you ever seen a person wandering in the wilderness, in the jungle, when there's no water and it's heat, you feel that it's burning inside there. So, oh, I'm on fire. Huh? I'm on fire. Because I thirst. Right? And so what will happen? The crops, when the first trumpet is blown, the phenomenon that happens on the earth, yes. When the field is dry, what happens? It catches fire, like you have in California. You understand that? So it's a judgment of droughts, or maybe extreme flooding. Huh? Or the weather is so dry that even the cattle have nothing to eat. There's no grains left in the barn or in the garden. You see. So it will not be an earthly phenomenon per se. Now, of course, there are a lot of activities out there in the land of Israel. Hailstorm, maybe. You know, volcanic action, maybe that. But the most important of all these things is that God deal with Israel, the food is going to be there. Right? Crops will not be there. Animals will die because there's no water. Lands are scorched dry. The second trumpet bursting. And the second trumpet sound, and the second angel sound, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, with fire was cast into the sea. Now this one now is cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creature which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the sheep were destroyed. So now the grandmother burning with fire. It doesn't mean that, of course, like some people would interpret that it's a meteorite or meteor. Or a comet or meteor that slammed into the earth. Alright? But it's actually God's judgment on a great system. Remember I told you about the great mountain? In the book of Zechariah, oh great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt come down. Oh, great mountain means great empire, a great system. So here he's talking about right now, when the seventh, the two angels began to prophesy, they are prophesying against the system. But later on we'll see more about that. They prophesy against that system. You know. And at the same time, of course, it says that the third part of the sea became blood. So what do the two witnesses do? Like Moses, in the days of Pharaoh, before the Exodus, he turned water into blood. Right? So now when you say turn water into blood, don't tell me that the water will be literally blood. It is not true. Okay? The word blood means always something red. Something to deal with life. Especially when the Bible says blood is something to deal with life. So when one of these two witnesses began to demonstrate the power of God, it says that the sea, the third part of the sea became blood. Now when it's the third part of the sea, the world is whole of seas. But when we talk about this third part of the sea, talking about the area in the Mediterranean, right? In the Red Sea area, the Persian Gulf. Right? You understand? Sea of Galilee, any of those sea round about that third part of the world, because the Bible came from that part of the world. And that sea will turn to blood. Not real blood, but it turns red. And the Bible says, so, say here what? Top part of the creature were in the sea, died. Only those fishes there died. Not over in this part of our world. Only in that part. Fish will die. And the top part of the sheep, those sheep that are there, will be destroyed. How is it so? Because you know what happened? When the water of the sea turns red, it turns into what we call red tide. You know the phenomenon of red tide? In the Philippines, it's very common. You have red tide very often. And when you have red tide, you don't eat the oysters. You cannot eat any sea creatures, fishes or even when you have red tide. Okay? Those are, what are they? And it's some sort of algae, right? Exuded some poisonous thing, I don't know. You see. So when they are when they multiply, and God is going to cause it to multiply, those ships that are anchored out there, what will happen to their anchor? The ship won't be able to move. You see. The anchor there, they can't move because it might be so thick, whatever it is, the jam, the propeller, whatever, I have no idea. It's a ship here will be destroyed. All those sailing boats, not necessarily, I'm not talking about the big oil tanker or the cruise, or those what we call ocean liner thing. The ship here means anything that's on the sea that are affected by this, the top part of it will be damaged. No, we have not seen that yet. And do you want to see it? How many want to see it?
Tribulation.
Okay, you don't want to see it. This is what's going to happen. Okay, so, okay, let's go next to the third trumpet. And we'll close with the third trumpet, I guess, on that. And the third angel saw that there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were named bitter. Ah, that's a very interesting thing. So who is this star? A star is not what we call sometimes a star in the form of heaven. The star here represents an angel. And there is one angel, and the Bible says here is called wormwood, and there is one who actually possessed that description. What is wormwood? Wormwood is a name that means something that is bitter. And there is one angel that is called Wormwood too. And that is not other than Satan himself. He is the one that is bitter. And has caused the fall of a third of the angel along with him. And the Bible says this is just symbolic that he's cast, you know, that he fell from heaven. Because we know that Lucifer fell from his estate. So he was cast out. Okay, because he was a bright, beautiful angel, isn't he? So he's a burning as well a lamp. He fell upon the third part of the river, upon the fountains of the water. So when this super shows his fallen state to affect Israel. Now, of course, this is just only a picture of showing something that God is going to do. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and third part of the world become bitter, and many men die of the water because they were made bitter. So what happened? Simple enough. The two winners in his ministry will affect the life of the children of Israel to teach them a lesson. And let people, the whole world, know. Just like in the days of Moses, when Moses started to demonstrate against those Egyptians, right? Yes or no? Yes. So when there's water out there to affect the Egyptians, it will affect those Jews that live around there. You see. Okay? So, now we also know that the word wormwood, it means a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of calamities. And this trumpet here, this third trumpet, when it's blown, shows that the angels, or the two wingers, will demonstrate their ministry in such a way that the children of Israel will know that this is the work of God. To show that how their life were affected by the fall of Satan, how that they have moved away from God, that's why their life are the way that they are since, well, the days when they were dispersed in AD 70. And God brought them back, and their life still in the state of calamity. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of pain for the nation of Israel. So when these two witnesses came to do that, comes to do that, they will begin to realize that all this phenomena that is happening because God did do the work. The last one, the fourth trumpet. Verse 12. Now, remember that when the two prophets in the third trumpet, just then the fresh water turns into, become bitter. Now, how many of you ever tasted bitter water? I mean, real water that's bitter. How many of you have tasted fresh, clean water that flows from the mountainside or river that is, you take it fresh and it's very fresh? And it's not sweet, right? But how many of you ever taste water that's bitter? That means it is bitter, something is wrong with this water. It cannot contain life, you know. It's actually, fish don't even want to have it. Something has polluted it. And so this bitterness of water, only the spring water, fountain water, all turned bitter, you know, and the tsunamis can't drink it. You see? It shows that, you see, how much their life is. If they don't want to come back to the Lord, this is what's going to affect them. They will be in that condition all the time. God is dealing with them with grace and mercy. Remember? He's dealing with grace and mercy. If you want to stop everything, they will have nothing. Fourth trumpet, and the four angels sounded, and the third part of the sun was slitted, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the star, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. So, wow. Sun, one third part of the sun was blocked up. No light for one third part of the day, not even the night. The stars and the moon. Of course, when the sun is affected, the moon also affected, the stars affected, no doubt about it. Yeah? So, what is going to happen in this? Go to the book of Exodus chapter 10. We're not going to read it, but in Exodus chapter 10, let's quickly, I want to read one verse or two. Exodus chapter 10, in the day when Moses was there in Egypt, demonstrating before the Pharaoh. Chapter 10, verse 23. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, when God dealt with Egypt at that time, there were 3 days or 3 nights, no light. You know how it happened? It's not because of the sun. It's because God sent a storm, a dust storm, that came all the way from Saudi Arabia, all the way into Egypt. So much so that, have you ever entered into a sandstorm that you can't see anything? Yeah? These are not just sandstorms, but they are all fine particles, their hands in the air, that you can't even see your hand in front of you. For 3 days and 3 nights, that storm, that dust hang in Egypt. Yet in the land of Goshen, the children of Israel, they have no problem. They could see the sun, they could see the moon. So, this is what we are seeing, the fourth trumpet. So, just only for one third part, how long would it be? We're not told how long that will be. One third part of the day, for how many days, we have no idea. The Bible did not say about the fourth trumpet. Only that it will be a phenomenon that will affect the whole earth. The whole earth will say, oh my, we're all having the same problem. We saw what he got, we saw something going on in Egypt, in Israel. We see the two crazy men prophesying and saying this and saying that. But now, we are feeling it. In this part of the world, all around the world, they're going to feel this darkness a third part of the day. And when it is dark, what do you think happens? It's going to be cold. Do you know that? Just imagine, when the third part of the sun is blocked out, by whatever God is going to do, what phenomena God is going to do, then you're going to have temperatures start dropping. Huh? You're going to affect the animals. You affect the crops. Oh yes. And so this is fourth trumpet. We end there and we come back next week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace, thank you for your word, thank you for all things, O Lord, that you have given to us. We praise your wonderful name. For the blessed word, Lord, we ask that you take it further, Lord, and break it down further to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.